Well, through the month of February and March, we'll be divided up here. Ladies will be doing Proverbs 31, and we'll be doing a brief study on a man by the name of Joseph. We're all familiar with Joseph, right? And I will have a handout for you each week to fill in the blanks to help you follow along and also maybe review a little bit later on your own. You can go into a little bit more depth if you want on this. As we look at this study tonight, we're going to talk about, ultimately, this whole series is going to be on life-changing character. This is a man who had incredible character that God used circumstances in his life to develop, to hone in, to make him the man that God wanted him to be. And I'll tell you what, the things that come into our lives aren't by accident. They are in part of God's eternal plan. We're going to be in Genesis 39. And I want you to begin reading with me a very familiar passage of Scripture, beginning with verse number 1, Genesis 39. And I'll try to keep you up to date on when you need to fill in the blanks there. And hopefully we can get this all covered tonight. Genesis 39 and verse number 1. Notice what it says. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and over all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I want to give you, this is not in your outline, but I want to give you what we would consider a life principle. It's one life principle with three thoughts within it. The life principle is this, is that God-given success, that's what we're talking about. Joseph, a man with God-given success. The principle is God-given success begins with the presence of God. There's a handout back there, brother. The God-given success begins with the God's presence. It blesses those that are around us, and it glorifies God in this world. That is one principle made up of three parts. So this life principle is God-given success begins with God's presence, blesses those that are around us, and glorifies God in this world. Now let me give you a little setup here before we get into your part of filling in the blanks. The name Joseph is a very familiar name. Joseph's name actually means Jehovah has added. It's a real simple thought. Jehovah has added. And all through his life, Joseph was experiencing God's blessing, and God was always continually adding to Joseph's success. He was a man that I believe exemplifies the character of God. He is a picture to many of a type of Christ. He is a man who was, as far as his character was concerned, was flawless. Now, I'm not saying that Joseph was sinless. The Bible does not record any sins of Joseph, but we do know the Scriptures teach that all have sinned. So I'm not saying that he's sinless, but I'm telling you that his character was flawless. And even in the midst of some very adverse circumstances, he continued to maintain integrity and uprightness. That's a man of character. Things that he could have done and maybe even gotten away with as far as man seeing, he knew God was always watching. And we'll get into that in some other areas of study. But Joseph had God's supernatural blessing upon him. And I don't know about you. How many of you would like to have God's supernatural blessing on you? And by the way, it's not too late for that to happen, no matter what age you are. Amen. As long as we're still here, we can still desire that. And God gives us the desires of our heart. And I think most of us would love to have God's supernatural blessings on us like it was upon Joseph. Now, in this setting, we're familiar with this story. In this narrative, we see that Joseph has been purchased as a slave. But in his heart, I want you to understand, he's purchased as a slave, but in his heart, he's still the servant of the King of Kings. So no matter what circumstance he was in, he never let his circumstance get him down where he didn't understand who he was still serving. He was not serving Potiphar. He was serving the Jehovah, the King of Kings here in our story. Now, Joseph's life, I believe, is a testimony. And by the way, your life is a testimony to who's watching you, whether it's a good one or a bad one. But Joseph's life, I believe, is a testimony to the fact that a Christian can receive the blessings of God, whether he is the chief executive officer of some corporation or whether he is the custodian at the lowliest place. God doesn't look on your position to decide if he's going to bless you. He looks on your heart and your character. And here we're going to see that there are some things that God wants to show us here in these lessons here. There are four major, and we're going to look at these tonight, four major spiritual insights concerning God-given success. And if these four line up in your life, you will see the blessings of God. And may I say this, not only will you see the blessings of God, others will see Christ in you, how he's using you. I mean, for other people to see it is incredible. Here is spiritual insight number one for your outline. God-given success begins with the presence of God in your life. So you have that first blank is the word presence. It's the presence of God in your life. Look what it says in verse number 1 and 2. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now watch. And the Lord was with Joseph. That is our very first spiritual insight. God-given success begins with the presence of God in your life. And the Lord, it says, was with Joseph. Under your number one there, God's presence in our life is the greatest success that you can have. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to flip over to the book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament book Jeremiah, and look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Understanding that this is the best thing that you can have, the greatest success that you and I can have is the presence of God in our life. In chapter 9, look what Jeremiah says in verse number 23. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." That is incredible. I mean, when we think of what would be great to have, we would like to be wise. We'd like to be pretty stout and strong, and we'd like to have some wealth. And he said, "Don't. That's not worth glorying in. You want to really glory in something? You might not ever have riches. You might not ever have the best physique and strength. You might not ever have any of these things that he's talking about here." But he goes, "You can know me." He goes, "If you want to glory about something, glory in this, that you know me." Look what it says, number two. If you don't know, I guess that's not number two for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you can never, I want you to understand this, you can never be a real success in God's eyes if you don't know his Son. Real success extends beyond our few short years. And by the way, rejoice that Anna had made mention of Granny G. 98 years is a long time. They're still very short compared to eternity. And real success extends beyond our few short years on this earth. And real success will last for eternity. And I want you to understand something, that when we just look at, we're not even in eternity yet. But I want you to see that the success of Joseph has lasted not only in his lifespan, but he died and his generation. But we're still reading about it, are we not? He's still being told about because of his relationship with God. So we see that, number one, God-given success begins with the presence of God in your life. I think everybody here, you can say amen if it's true. I think everybody here has God's presence in your life if you've been saved and you're born again as a child of God. Amen? Amen. So you should have the presence. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God has dwelt within you. He's there. You're sealed until that day of redemption, and you're forever His. You have His presence. That's the beginning of God-given success. The second thing we see here, the second spiritual insight is letter B here, is God-given success is measured by the glory your life gives to God. It's measured by the glory your life gives to God. Look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Now, remember, back in the very beginning, we said that the Lord was with Joseph. And I want you to notice here in verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. I mean, it's one thing for us to say, God's with me. It's another thing for somebody else to say, God's with him. Amen? Think about that, guys. When was the last time, can you think back, where somebody pointed and said, God is with that guy? What an incredible thing for a pagan lost man to see that the Lord was with Joseph. And what do we see happening? God-given success is measured by the glory that your life gives to God, and God was receiving glory. He saw, the master saw that the Lord of glory, was with him. Number one in your outline, Joseph's life was a visible display of the presence of God. I wonder what our lives are displaying, because we are put out on display. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, I didn't even look up this verse. The Lord kind of just brought it to me just now, and I can't remember the reference. But Paul says that we are living epistles known and read by all men. We can look that one up a little bit later, the reference. But Paul says that you, Rusty, that I am, that Herb is, a living epistle, and men are reading us. We're telling them a story. Joseph's story was declaring from what the master saw. He saw this with his own eyes. He saw the Lord with him. Incredible statement. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. So Joseph's life was a visible display of the presence of God. Number two, others could see God in the way that Joseph lived his life. Now, I want you to understand this, folks. This is important, gentlemen, that people are watching us, and they're seeing something. What are they seeing? Do they see the Lord Jesus Christ in me? Do they see Christ coming out? What do they see? Or do they see us professing to be something, but living contradictory of what we profess? And by the way, I want to say something here. The lost world has an expectation for people who profess to be Christians. When I was in the workplace, you could be walking with the Lord. I worked at the chemical factory for 10 years. I could be there for 9 years and 9 months, and one day I could come in a bad mood, blow my top, and you know what people are going to do? They're going to remember that time. And you profess to be a Christian?
It's like David.
They have an expectation. They are watching. They are reading you as an epistle. Yes, you're right. So others could see God in the way that Joseph lived his life. The greatest success you will ever find will happen in your life when others can say, I saw God in Brother Don. I saw God in Noel. When they can see the Lord in us, that is the greatest success. We're talking about Joseph here. A man with God-given success. We see, number one, it begins with the presence of God in your life. Number two, it's measured by the glory your life gives to God. And the Bible says, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. Folks, success is not measured this is how the world measures success, but the success in God's eyes is not measured by your station in life, how far up the ring you've gone, how wealthy you are, how well known your name is. It is measured by your Christ-like character, that you resemble Jesus Christ, that you not only possess him, but he actually possesses you. I saw kind of an interesting little article the other day that somebody had posted, and it said that a person paid to have exorcism done to him, and he could not afford to pay the guy for it later, so they repossessed him. You gotta let that one sink in, all right?
I saw that. Show that to me.
Yeah, it's kind of comical, but. Can people see that? You could say, I possess Christ, but can people see that Christ possesses you? For me to live is what?
Christ.
For me to live is Christ. That is success in God's eyes. There's a guy by the name of, he's long gone to be with the Lord. He was back in the 1800s. He only lived to be 30 years old, 1813 to 1843. And his name was Robert Murray McChane. Some of you have read some of his books. He's probably having more impact after his death because of what he wrote than he did while he was alive. But listen to what he said. Quote, he says, it's not great talent God blesses, but great likeness to Christ. Unquote. And the sooner we learn that, the far better off we will be. So God-given success is measured by the glory that your life gives to God. Can people see God in your life? And the master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. He could witness it. Number three. Maybe I'm going to get done sooner than I thought. I guess we'll have prayer time, some more prayer time. Here's a third spiritual insight. Number three, or letter C for you. God-given success brings God's blessings upon the world around us. This is an interesting one here. This is one that many of us would not say, I don't see this one. I saw the first two. But here it says, God-given success brings God's blessings upon the world around us. Look at verse number 5, if you would. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Look what it says. For Joseph's sake. Wait. It says that he blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, it says, for Joseph's sake. His cup was running over. I believe that God, and this is my personal opinion, I believe that God blesses corporations. I believe that God blesses governments because of Christian involvement. Joseph, in our story here, was appointed an overseer in Egypt, which means he was John, the chief accountant, okay? It was a no small job. As a matter of fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 75, it makes an interesting statement here where he says in verse number 6, Psalm 75, 6, he says, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Your promotions that you might get is because God has granted them and given them. And here we see that Joseph has been promoted, if you would, as the overseer, not only in Potiphar's house, but later we'll see that he'll get promoted to only second under Pharaoh himself. And so what we're seeing here in this third insight, God-given success brings blessings upon the world around us, and we see that as a result of God's blessings upon Joseph, here is an unsaved man, Potiphar, that God is blessing him because of Joseph being there. I wonder, and I only wonder, how many have been blessed throughout the centuries because Christians were present. How much has God blessed those that are around you because of your presence? Understand how powerful this is, because the more you think about it, the more powerful it becomes. You see, Abraham interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. He took it all the way down that if there be 10 righteous men, 10 righteous, will not the judge of the earth do right? Thou surely will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. The Lord will not do that, surely, because I won't do it for 10. Had they had 10 righteous men, those cities of the plains would have been spared because of the Christian influence. They would have been blessed. But because of the absence of righteous men being there, it was destroyed, decimated. Turn to Genesis. Hold yourself here, but go back a few pages to Genesis chapter 30. Look at verse 27. We see this principle back here. A familiar story here with Jacob. And look what it says in chapter 30, verse number 27. And Laban, which was Jacob's father-in-law, and Laban said unto him, talking about Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For listen to what Laban says, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. That's what Laban's saying. He says, I didn't have this blessing until you got here. And I've learned. But look what he says, I've learned by experience. I have partaken of this, actually, not just seeing it, but it's been a part of my life. I pray thee, if I have found favor in the eyes, tarry. How many of you would want somebody, that if you're being blessed because of someone's presence, how many of you would want them to stay around? Huh? Yeah, you're getting all the blessings for just having them there. And he says, tarry, for I have... He goes, if I found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience. What did you learn, Laban? That the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. This is the same thing that happened with Joseph and Potiphar. Here we see in your outline, God blessed Laban because of Jacob. There's your blanks. God blessed Laban because of Jacob. Now, you actually, and I actually, don't have any idea how many people we may be blessing around us. Now, we're talking about people, we're talking about not just Christians, we're talking about Christians who have a heart to walk with God, Christians who are people of integrity, Christians who are living the life that God wants to bless. Not every Christian is being blessed by God. But if you're the mindset of Joseph, and you want to be a man with God-given blessings, and you want God's presence in your life, not just at salvation, but you're walking with him. How can two walk together, Amos 3:3, except they be agreed? And 1 John 3 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you're walking with God, and God begins to get glory from the way you're living. He will begin to bless others because of you. And you'll begin to get promoted. And so I don't know that we have any idea how many people have been in the past blessed because of you as a Christian being around them. The unsaved can actually get in on the fallout of the blessings of the Lord upon the believer. We're talking about four major insights, spiritual insights concerning God-given success. It begins with the presence of God. It's measured by the glory that your life gives. It brings God's blessings upon the world around us. And then the last insight here, this fourth one, letter D for you, God-given success is bestowed upon lives that are living testimonies. Living testimonies. Verse number 3, back in our text, Oops, I'm in the wrong place. Come on back over here. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Man, if I saw that God, if I had given somebody a responsibility and they were doing it and God was blessing them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them more to do. You know? I'll tell you what, think about this. I was thinking about this morning. Here comes the Ishmaelites. They're coming in with their caravan. They got all kinds of goods, perfumes, food, all kinds of things. Probably got peacocks they're selling. They got everything. They're just a traveling, you know, caravan of semi-trucks coming in. They bring it up, and guess who's there? Rusty's there. He goes to auctions all the time, right? So you go in there, and you kind of look over what's there, and you think, oh, I'd like to get a hold of that. And there they got slaves. And they bring the slaves up on the thing, and they're bidding on this one slave here. They're bidding on this other guy. And here all of a sudden they bring up this young Jewish young man, Joseph. Potiphar thinks, I could use a good hand around the house. Who give me 50 bucks? Oh, I'll give you 50. How about they go up on it and they get 150. $300. Man, that's getting kind of high, honey. $300. Sold. I'll tell you what. I don't know what he paid for Joseph. He got his money's worth. Yeah. He did not know when he was bidding on that young man what he was getting with that young man. He was getting the blessings and the presence of God on everything he had and never even knew it. God-given success is bestowed upon lives that are living testimonies. Here's your number one here. The blessings of God, this is important here. The blessings of God are earned. They are earned. They are not free. Salvation is free. The blessings of God are earned. They're not free. Joseph earned his blessings through godliness, there's your blank, and integrity. Those two things will bring the blessing of God. Those two things are testifying not just to men, they are testifying to the Lord. I love you. No matter what's going on in my life, it doesn't change my love for you. He earned them through godliness and integrity. I was reading an article here the other day, and I want you to listen. It fits in really well here. Well, let me say this before I read the article. I want to say that some of the blessings of God are earned, as I stated already, but they are earned through suffering. And what do we see in the life of Joseph? Suffering, being sold taken from his father, taken into Egypt, sold to Potiphar, and then his wife lies about him, and he suffers, and he goes to prison. So we're seeing that there's godliness in every situation, there's integrity in every situation, but there's also suffering in every situation. And yet he's being a living testimony. Now, how many of you have ever heard of a man by the name of Adoniram Judson? He is a missionary. He was a missionary to Burma for over 40 years. Great man of faith. He was raised by a godly father. The father's name was Edward Judson, who raised him. Edward Judson gave his son Adoniram, before he went to Burma, some counsel. And that fits in with this message tonight. I want you to listen to what his father said to him, a very upright man challenging his son what he needs to be. He's speaking about this. Listen, he says, success and suffering are vitally and organically linked. They are vitally and organically linked. If you succeed, son, without suffering, it is because someone else has suffered before you. If you suffer without succeeding, it is that someone else will succeed after you. They're linked. I might suffer for something, but somebody else may enjoy the freedoms because of my suffering. Many times they will be linked together with that one person, but sometimes his father says, if you end up succeeding and you don't suffer, that's because somebody else has suffered for you. Question. How effective, and I want you to think about this, how effective is your testimony? I mean, in the book of Acts, Luke is who God used to write the book of Acts. And Luke is recording several things throughout the book of Acts. In chapter 4, he records a setting here. And listen to what he says in verse 13. And Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost back in verse 8. And then it says in verse 13, now when they saw, isn't it interesting that the world can actually see a lot about us? But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These are not highly esteemed men. These are fishermen. These are not educated men. And yet they looked upon them and they thought, these are unlearned. These guys are uneducated. But I'll tell you what, they marveled. It blew their minds. The way these guys are acting, this is the same way. They could tell they had been with Jesus. The presence, it begins with the presence of Christ. He tells us here in verse 13, he says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they had freedom in speaking. They were unreserved in their speech. They were, when we talk about boldness, Peter and John, when they were preaching, matter of fact, they had just said prior to this verse in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. And when they listened to those words and watched these unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled at their boldness, that they were fearless and they were confident. That was their testimony. And that's what other people saw. What do people see in us? What do they see? How do they see our testimony? God-given success, here's a spot for you, has a price. God-given success has a price, and the price is that you must walk with God. There's your last blank. You must walk with God. The Bible tells us in that little tiny, if I can find it here, it's snuckled away somewhere here. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah records, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Three things. That should be our testimony. He is such a merciful man. He is a just man. That is a man who demonstrates, you can see, a humble walk with his God. That's what we're calling God-given success. This is what's seen in the life of Joseph. And this is not just a thing that's only available for Old Testament saints. It's also available for New Testament saints. And by the way, you're a saint, amen? Are you a saint tonight?
Amen.
Yeah. Are you New Testament? Yeah. We're New Testament saints. You see, a saint is not someone who's died and has been dedicated and said, we declare Don Stevenson a saint now that he's dead. Right?
Free birth.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a saint right now. He's one that's been separated and set apart.
Look at his face.
Yeah, there's... We all have our rough edges, amen?
Yeah. Rusty said I was an angel.
Yeah.
What kind?
I used to say that our wives, somebody said my wife was an angel. She's always up in the air harping on something, right?
Ooh, I said that one time, got in trouble.
Yeah. That's why I'm just saying it within our means here, brother. With our means.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 come into play with Acts 4.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Renewing of the mind.
That is it. We are to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So let me ask you the question. How is your testimony in the world? How is your testimony? Some of you don't have to worry about this part at work because you're retired. How is your testimony when you used to work? How is your testimony when you were at work? Let me ask you this one. How is your testimony at home? I know of individuals, even people that are professing Christians and even people that are called into the ministry that have a poor testimony at home, and yet they're supposed to be leading the flock of God. And they're not successful. Oh, they might be successful because of things that they're gaining in this world. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. But how's your walk with the Lord tonight? What kind of successes are we striving for? Will they bring glory to God? Will they testify of the Lord being with us, being seen in our lives? You and I will never know real success until, first off, we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I'll tell you what, Joseph is an incredible picture for us to look at. Sinless? No. Flawless in his character? Yes, there's a great possibility that we can be that if we walk in the Spirit. Because if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Next week, we'll go into our second study here, and we're going to talk about Joseph, a man of integrity. And I want you to understand that these lessons are all going to stair-step each other, because you cannot be a man, old man, or a young man of integrity if you don't have God in your presence. And I'm not talking about just salvation, that you're walking humbly with your God. That'll be next week. I remember as a new Christian, years ago, I read a little ditto that just said, you're as close to God right now as you want to be. That's why the Lord invited us, draw near unto God, and then I will draw near unto you. You and I, everybody here can get closer to God tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we humbly bow before thee as men who have your presence concerning the area of salvation. And we thank you for that free gift of God. But we know that the blessings of God are earned. You would have us to be men of integrity, men of faith, men of humbleness of mind. And we look at the life of Joseph, and I pray, O Lord, that you would bless us because of your presence, but I pray those blessings would overflow unto the lost that are around us, that they can see Christ in us, our neighbors, our friends, family members, that they would be able to see your blessings upon us, that you would bless them because of us being around them. May our testimony be one that is pleasing to you in our homes first, in our workplaces, and in the other areas that we go. May Christ be exalted and praised and be glorified because of who we are but more important, how we live. And we ask, Father, that you'll receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. Be with our night as we head home. Dear Father, give us safety in our travels on the road. Be with those that are not able to be here, that are usually here, the Stricklers and the Faiths and the Lopezes. Take and oversee each situation. And ask, Father, that you'll take and bring them back with us for this Lord's Day Sunday. And Father, we continue to look to you, wait for that trumpet to sound. But you told us that we are to occupy until you come. May we be about our Father's business. May we take responsibility of the things that you've given us stewardship over. May we be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. May we be faithful in these areas, and we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.